Now today, as we continue with our studies in the book of Exodus, we're going to look at chapter 14. And in this particular chapter, here are some of the things that we will take note of. We might call it the passing out from Egypt. This chapter proves that man's extremity is God's opportunity, and also shows that God's ways are not man's ways, and God never makes any mistakes. This is one of the greatest miracles of history, setting forth the power of the living God. Now, before we read some of the verses from this chapter, let us bow for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we would thank Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus for every blessing Thou hast conferred upon us. We believe Thou art the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Take our thanks then for Thy goodness to us, and wilt Thou be pleased to look down in mercy now upon every listener, and wherever there's a home in special need, wilt Thou grant that blessing even now. And may the Lord Jesus be glorified through this broadcast, and Thy people edified. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. Now then, in coming to this particular chapter, we shall look, first of all, at the plan of the Lord. Here are some of the things you may take note of throughout the chapter. Number one, the plan of the Lord, verses 1 through 4. The pursuit of Pharaoh, verses 5 through 9. The panic of the Israelites, verses 10 through 12. The promise of the Lord, verses 13 through 18. The performance of the Lord, verses 19 through 22. And the perishing of the Egyptians, verses 23 through 31. Now look at the plan of the Lord, the first four verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, under these verses that we have labeled, as it were, as the plan of the Lord, note this: the directions given by God must be followed without question. Now, suppose they had called a kind of meeting, and they had controlled that meeting under some kind of democratic principles or procedures, and each man was allowed to have his little say, and then they'd taken a vote and been guided by the majority, they would not have taken the way that God gave them. But you see, when God gives directions, you don't take what God says and consider it according to the terms of democracy. It's not a matter of every man having a say and then having a vote and going according to the majority. If God says turn to the right, you turn to the right. If God says turn to the left, you turn to the left. In plain words, when God gives directions, then these directions must be followed without question. Otherwise, we are sure to go wrong. Now, the deviations may not be understood, but they must be accepted. Now, the way that God was leading them appeared to be a deviation. It was leading them, you would have thought, right into a trap. That's what the Egyptians said. They have become entangled. And it would appear from the human point of view that these people were all entangled and didn't know which way to go. But if God was leading, and they were following the directions given by God, you can rest assured God was operating to a plan. The divine movements display God's wisdom and at the same time set forth man's folly. Plain words, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Just as the heavens are as high above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways, and God's thoughts above our thoughts. It is very good at any time for each of us to submit to the plan of God, and whatever God directs us to do, we should submit to God's directions. Now, verses 5 through 9, we have the pursuit of Pharaoh. The reaction of Pharaoh to the exodus of the Israelites is brought very much before us. After letting them go, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to pursue after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. Now, I want you to notice this, that these Egyptians were pursuing after them. And verse 9 says, "And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon." Now, here is the pursuit of Pharaoh. Now, when he gets time to think it over, and he discovers that his slaves have gone, the reaction of Pharaoh to the Exodus is simply this: "We've done wrong. We ought not to have let them go. Let's go after them." He takes all the resources of Egypt. He harnesses his horses and his chariots and his men of war to go against a defenseless people, for they had no means of defense. These Israelites had only been a bunch of slaves. They had not been trained for war. And then he pursues them in order to recover the Israelites, and he determined to make them his slaves once more. Might I emphasize this to every listener today? When a man or a woman reaches the point where they realize they are sinners in need of God's salvation, and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I want to tell you, my friend, you have difficulties. The Christian life is not an easy life. The enemy will still pursue you. He'll still be after you in order to trap you once more. And so when you come to verses 10 and 12, you have the panic of the Israelites. Now notice, it was all a new experience for these people. The danger they feared from the enemy who pursued them, and they looked around and they saw their danger. Then there was the dilemma they faced because of the circumstances around them. Then there was despair, and they expressed their despair because of their misunderstanding. Oh, there was danger, and they feared because the enemy pursued them. And you know, many a man and many a woman has been genuinely converted. They're Christians, all right, saved with an everlasting salvation. But they realize this, that there are dangers, and there's an enemy around them. They discover there's the enemy of the flesh, there's the enemy of the world, and the enemy who's called the devil. And this threefold enemy seem to have entered into an alliance in order to overthrow the man of God, just the same as the Israelites. As they were leaving Egypt, they realized they were in a dangerous place. This world is a dangerous place. The enemy is always out to trap the Christian. Now remember, As they stood there, they faced a great dilemma. Think of the circumstances. They couldn't turn back, they couldn't turn to the right or to the left, and they couldn't go forward because the sea lay before them. They had come, as it were, to the dead end. Here was man's extremity. But man's extremity is God's opportunity. They realized at this point there was nothing they could do for themselves. If anything had to be done, it had to be done by God. And you see, it shows that God's ways are not man's ways. God never makes mistakes. It was God who directed them right here to this point in order to prove his great power and deliver them by the power of his hand out from under Pharaoh's hand. But then, while they stood in all their dilemma, they were in despair because of a misunderstanding. They didn't understand what God was doing. They couldn't read God's mind, and so therefore they were in despair because they didn't understand. And you know, some people are like that today. But may I remind you, my friend, that God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. As we look around us in the world today, you would almost think that God had lost. You would almost think that the gospel had failed. You would almost think that the church was a dying concern, and the evangel of the cross was accomplishing nothing. Oh, my friend, don't believe it. God in the end will show to us that he has been working all things after the counsel of his own will, and in all things he has ordained that his Son shall have the preeminence, and the day will come when we'll look back and we'll be able to fit in every little detail and understand it was God who was working. We may be like the Israelites at times. We may be in a state of panic when we see the danger, when we stand in the place of dilemma, and we show our despair. What then? You turn and you cry to God. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That's it, my friend. In straitened circumstances, when everything seems to be against us, we can turn to the Lord. Wasn't it the Lord who preserved them? Wasn't it the Lord who made a difference between them and the Egyptians during the time of the plagues? Wasn't it God who protected them that night when the death angel passed through the land? Wasn't it God who was guiding them by the cloudy pillar? And if God was in their midst, the best thing then is to cry to God and leave the issues with him. Verses 13 through 18 are delightful. Oh, they bring great strength to the child of God. Here is the promise of the Lord. Notice what he says. Verse 13. Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now look, here first of all, the promise of the Lord, what he is going to do. It brings the peace of faith. He says, Fear ye not. And if there's no fear, then there's peace. Peace is the opposite, you know, of fear. Some people think that peace is the opposite of war, but it isn't. Peace is the opposite of fear. Where there's fear, there's no peace. Where there's peace, there's no fear. Here is the peace of faith. Moses said, Fear ye not. Then there is the patience of faith. Stand still. You know, it's a difficult thing at times either to sit still or stand still. We want to be forever on the move. We want to be accomplishing something. God says, if you want my salvation, show the patience of faith. Stand still. God had his time. God was working to his own calendar. God was working to his own clock, and at the right time the way would be opened up for them to go through. But God would wait to the right moment. You and I have got to exercise the patience of faith. There's a great man in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. He had faith to believe God. It says so. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He had faith, all right, but he didn't have the patience of faith to wait God's time. And instead of waiting for God to move, Abraham took it into his own hand and brought nothing but trouble on his own family, and trouble on the whole world for that matter of it, all because he lacked the patience of faith. You and I, if we've got faith, and as a result of believing God we have the peace of faith, let us exercise the patience of faith. Stand still. Here's the provision for faith, the salvation of the Lord. Oh, I wish that men and women could learn this from the Bible. Jonah learned it. He says, salvation is of the Lord. Old Jacob learned it. He says, we will wait for thy salvation. And wherever you go throughout the Bible, you discover that salvation is of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here is the provision for faith, the salvation of the Lord. My friend, have you exercised that faith? Do you know anything of the peace of faith? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know anything about the patience of faith, standing still and allowing God to work? Do you know anything about the provision for faith, the salvation of the Lord provided for us, and we accept it by faith? There is the power of faith. The Lord shall fight for you. They weren't able to fight for themselves, but God would exercise his power and put forth his strong right arm and deliver them right out from under the hand of Pharaoh and bring them safely through the Red Sea, right out of Pharaoh's land. There is the pathway of faith, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And so therefore there was the pathway of faith to go forward. When God says move, then we move. When the pillar of cloud moved, they had to follow. When the sea was opened and the way was clear, all they had to do was go forward. You see, we have here the promise of the Lord. Even in difficult circumstances, we can turn to the Lord. We can cry to the Lord. We can get the promise of the Lord. But not only so, but verses 19 through 22, you have the performance of the Lord. Protection is provided. Notice the position of the cloud. That which signified the presence of the Lord stood between them and the hosts of Egypt and gave them divine protection. You see, the cloud was going before and giving guidance. They had to follow the cloud, which indicated the presence of God. But at this particular point, verse 19 says, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went between them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, that is to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, that's the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. The waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. See, the whole point is here is the Lord was performing his own work. Protection was provided. The cloud, which signified the presence of the Lord, which had gone before and given them guidance, now stood between them and the host of their enemies and gave them divine protection. Because Moses had already stretched out his rod. It was obvious the way was clear, and the word was given, go forward. And then the cloud went between them and the enemy and gave them protection. Ah, my friend, listen. The God that redeemed you is the God who can protect you. The Savior that saves you is the Savior that keeps you, and He'll protect you from all your enemies. There's no need to fear. Not only is protection provided, but a pathway is provided. There is the division of the sea. It should be noted that the Israelites walked through on dry ground, and every step was an advance in faith. There was no confusion, but there was orderly progression. They walked through. They didn't rush. They didn't stumble. They weren't pushing one another. They were simply walking in orderly fashion. When God gives directions, you can rest assured His people can walk in order. You know, our God is a God of order. He was orderly in the way that He created things. He was a God of order in connection with the nation of Israel. He's a God of order today. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "These things they were writing, that you may know how you oughtest to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Our God is a God of order. Paul wrote one of his letters to one of the churches, and he said this, that all things should be done decently and in order. And if you go into any service today, may I suggest this, the first thing that we should see is this, that service should be conducted orderly. There should be no confusion. Our God is a God of order. And so therefore the pathway is provided. The Israelites walked through on dry ground. They stepped forward. Here was the advance of faith. No confusion, but simply orderly progression. Verses 23 through 31 bring to us the closing section of this chapter. It's the perishing of the Egyptians. Notice the conceit of a daring foe. Pharaoh and his host presumed that they could accomplish in their own strength what the Israelites accomplished through faith in God. Isn't it strange? In spite of all the warnings that this man had received, he still presumed that he could fight against God. He still presumed that he could overthrow God's people. And so therefore, when we come to verse 23, "And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." Now notice, if the children of Israel went over in an orderly fashion, you can rest assured the Egyptians didn't. Here they were, seeking to accomplish by their own power and strength what the children of Israel were accomplishing under the power of God. Not only is their conceit demonstrated by this daring foe, but notice the confusion of a defeated foe. When the rod of God was raised against them, then the flood overthrew them, and in a state of utter confusion of mind, they tried to flee from God. It says this, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Here was utter confusion to a defeated foe. Let me tell you, my friend, the day is fast approaching when the Lord Jesus Christ will deal with all his foes and will be made footstools for his feet. Here was the condemnation of a destroyed foe. They fought against God and against God's people. They hardened their hearts and they perished when God caused the waters to overthrow them. To the Israelites, it was a morning of salvation. To the Egyptians, a night of condemnation. May I ask you, my friend, in which group would you have wanted to be counted? Would you have loved to be counted with those who have redeemed and stood on the redemption side of the Red Sea? Or would you have been counted with those who perished in the overthrow and in the judgment? Well, where do you stand today? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Or, if you don't know the Lord, what about the coming judgment? Oh, get right with God and do it now.